Good evening and welcome to Clonder Park Bible Church this evening. Could you please take your hymn books and turn to hymn number 824. 824, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And we'll remain seated and sing all five verses after the introduction. Our next hymn for tonight is hymn number 610. Give of your best to the Master. And again, we'll remain seated and sing all three verses after the introduction.
Thank you.
Our third hymn for tonight is hymn number 614. 614, In the Service of the King. And after the introduction, we will stand and sing all four verses. Let's stand. Please be seated.
Good evening and welcome to Condell Park Bible Church. I'd like to start the service off by reading a verse from Revelation chapter 5, verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honour and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And as we come this evening to this service to worship the Lord, let's open the service in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here tonight. We thank you that everyone here has been able to put aside the demands on us and to gather here to worship you and to learn from you. We pray that you'll give us safety tonight as we meet here and prevent us from being disturbed by those that would wish to do us harm. We pray that you'll help us tonight as we unite our hearts to learn from you and to receive your message to us. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd now like to invite Pastor Matthews to bring the announcements.
Thank you, Timothy. Good evening. Welcome. Good to see you. Maria's back. Welcome to you. And everyone else is back. Welcome to you as well. It's great to have you with us. In the service of the King, peace and joy and blessing. Except when it's so high you can hardly sing it.
Yes.
It's almost painful. But I noticed it was written back in 1912. I have a theory. Back then, I think people's voices must have been higher. As we've gone on in time, our voices got lower. I think we've gotten taller, but our voices have gone lower, hard to sing. But it's a great truth. And thank you for joining with us in praising the Lord this evening. Now, I'd just like to bring a couple of announcements. Let's see. If you didn't get a bulletin tonight, then go and see the men at the door. They could help you with one. We give them out in the mornings, but not twice a day. If you need one, see the men on the door. But just to highlight a couple of things there. On Wednesday evening, we have our normal prayer and Bible study. If you have a prayer request, a prayer need, please let us know, and we'd be happy to include that on the prayer sheet for Wednesday night, get everyone praying for you. So please let us know about that. And then Bible study will then proceed, and that goes from 8:10 till to 9 o'clock. On Friday evening, it's not the normal youth ministries, it's the school family and friends night. This is for grades, always get it wrong. Is it pre-reading? Yes. Pre-reading through to grade 6. Okay, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 items to be presented. Pre-reading, going to do the Four Little Pigs. Variation, obviously. The lower primary, The Tale of Peter Rabbit. Kindergarten, On the Fruit of the Spirit. Upper primary, The Trial of Barnabas Wolf. And middle primary, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And there is supper to follow. So that's Friday night. And then next Sunday, Brother Jared to preach in the morning, Pastor Wenham to preach in the evening. And a couple of other announcements, letting you know that Olivia, our daughter, arrives on Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock. We'll be there to meet her. She'll be here for about a month. And then husband Luke arrives on the 3rd of October, and he'll be here for about 2 weeks, them together. And then they'll return back to Michigan on the 16th of October. So they'll be around for a little bit, although they probably like to get up to Coffs as well. From the media ministries, just to repeat that a large number of the DVDs and CDs that were ordered at the church anniversary of those services, and also of Mr. Jeffress's messages, those discs are now ready to collect. You can pick them up from the media booth from this evening onwards. For those who are interested in receiving Mr. Jeffress's message on a USB stick or similar, please bring your storage device to the media booth at the beginning of the next convenient service, and we'll get those files for you. Appreciate the work of the media team. Repeating that the school, the missions team, was very pleased to raise about $100 each yesterday at the car wash and sausage sizzle. And so there's a note of thanks from them. And also, just to repeat, the next church fellowship lunch is on the 7th of October. That's a change from the church calendar. Later on in October, we have a special evangelistic meetings with Joshua Kura. That's from the 19th, 20th and 21st of October. We'd like you to do three things. Number one, please pray. Number two, please come. And number three, please bring someone with you. Please invite unsaved people to those special evangelistic meetings. On the literature bench, there is a leaflet like this advertising the Beth Shan Bible Conference. And there is a poster on the notice board as well. If you're really interested in going, then there's a registration form that I have, and you can get a copy of that from me. If you've got any other questions about the conference, I can probably answer them as well. So please come and talk to me about that if you have any other questions. The anniversary booklet about the church history is out on the bench. Take a copy. And also the booklet that's put together about Mr. Jeffress. Likewise, you're welcome to help yourself. I forgot to announce that next Sunday is our annual thank offering. Once a year, we set aside a special offering just out of thankfulness to God. We don't have any particular purpose in mind for it. Our motivation for giving is just our gratitude to God. That will begin next Sunday, but we normally keep it open for about a month or so. And so you won't miss out if you're not prepared for next Sunday. Luke and Sarah moved house yesterday, and appreciate the team that helped. And their new address is on the bulletin, 1/16 Chifley Place at Bly Park, which is a very long way away. But so they're out there and unpacking furiously. Okay, that's all the announcement. Thank you.
Okay, it now comes to the time in our service where those of us who have made this church our home like to give a small offering to the work. If you're a visitor with us or you've come unprepared, please don't hesitate to allow the bag to pass you by. And now as the men come, let's dedicate this offering to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many ways you bless us throughout the week, especially you give us finances and housing and food and all the other things. We pray now as we're able to give a small portion of that back to you. We pray that you'll take it and use it and multiply it to further your work, both here in this church, in our community, and around the world. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd now like to invite Pastor Christie to bring the Bible reading.
Thanks, Timothy. The Bible reading this evening is from Ephesians chapter 4. And I'll just read a small portion from verses 12 to 16. It's in the context of the gifts that have been given unto men, and these specifically pertain to ministry gifts that are referred to in verse 11. But just reading verse 12 to 16 of Ephesians chapter 4. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We just pray that God would bless that reading to our hearts from Ephesians 4.
Right. As we heard in the announcements from Pastor, there are several needs in our church and in others that we know, so please join me together for this time of prayer, and we'll bring those needs before God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thankful that you hear our needs and hear our prayers, and that you will supply all our needs. We were saddened to hear of a typhoon in the Philippines that has impacted, that we know of, at least one family connected to missionaries of ours. We pray for that. We pray for those that have impacted there, and we pray that your grace will shine through the believers in that area and others abroad that are supporting as they move into clean up now in that phase and into recovery. We pray that you'll help those that perhaps didn't have a thought for you to use this time as a opportunity to reflect and to perhaps consider their standing with you and their need of greater things. We also note the earthquake in Japan that's impacted the Evans family, who we have some contact with. We pray that you'll be with them and their ministries in that area, and for all those that are affected at this time. We pray that you'll help them as they seek to share forth your love and support those around them in this time. Be with them, strengthen them, and help them to shed a light for you. We also read of this very large youth camp happening in Papua New Guinea, headed by missionary Dave Crowe and Joshua Kura, the evangelist. We pray at this time. There's a large number of people in a camp. We pray that you'll help that to go smoothly, help them to overcome the logistics of that, and to be able to focus on the ministry of your word. We pray that people will be receptive, that they will be there for the right reasons and be able to learn, and we pray that many unsaved souls will receive you in that time. We pray for the number of travellers from our midst, from our congregation, that are travelling at the moment. We pray that you'll be with them, give them all travelling mercies, help them to have safety in their journey, to achieve their needs, and to be able to come once again to us. We pray for our country, for the freedom of religion, as we in this time seek to provide our witness for you. We pray that you'll help those that have the power to make decisions to allow us the freedom to share forth our beliefs, to share forth your word, and to be able to stand strong. We pray that we will not be silenced or attempted silent to be silenced by those that would not wish to hear what we have to say. And finally, we pray for the evangelistic meetings coming up here. We pray that you'll be with those, help them to go well, and we pray that many people would come to that and hear your word. Many people that perhaps haven't heard about you before will feel challenged to attend. And we pray for all these needs and for the service tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our next hymn for tonight is hymn number 302. Hymn number 302, Take the World But Give Me Jesus, All Its Joys Are But a Name. And after the introduction, we will stand and sing for all four verses of hymn number 302. Let's stand. Please be seated.
Appreciated the music ministry tonight. It's a blessing to have that ministry this evening. Tonight we'd like to look at the subject of the whole body fitly joined together. So before we open up the word, let's pray, shall we? Loving Father, how we just pray now that we may put our mind to the word that is before us, pray that we'll take this verse and, Father, see the teaching that may be here for us even this evening, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ for your glory. Father, minister to us accordingly, for we desire to grow, we desire to draw nearer to thee, we need to understand the depth of your love, your grace, and that which has been done on our behalf. Thank you for Calvary's tree and the precious blood that was shed thereon for our sins, and we thank you for redemption's plan. We thank you for that place where we came to know Jesus Christ as Saviour from sin. Pray that if there be one in our midst who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, may that one flee to him even this evening and be a child of God. Come to know the Saviour even this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Love to talk about the whole body fitly joined together, compacted together and functioning. A few months ago now, I saw an Australian story, and it was a documentary, and it was on a Australian man, a researcher, within his family was motor neurone disease. And he was a researcher, a scientist, and he studied and expanded his whole outlook on this whole thing because of the number of members of his family that were stricken with motor neurone disease. While he was studying, he realised himself that with that gene, that he was a candidate for motor neurone disease as well. But when he was more active and functioning, he was actually, and the footage showed him lecturing and teaching about the body functioning. And he had the marionette puppet, and it was with the strings, and it was the strings coming down, and there were shorter strings that were for the arms of the puppet, and there were longer strings for the legs of the puppet, and it was dangling there with a piece of wood, and it was the marionette puppet, and he had it moving, and then he cut one piece of string, and it was a leg that just went limp, went dead. Of course, without the string, there was no movement to that leg. Then another string was cut, and I forget the order in which they came, but now there were two limbs, and so there were two major organs not functioning. Then the third string was cut, and so he was explaining how motor neurone disease impacts and debilitates the body, and the functioning just stops. And I was thinking of the whole body fitly joined together and functioning and growing. And you've got to have a body that's functioning. I know my dad had a stroke when he was in his 50s. And for 5 years, there was that impact of a stroke on his organs. And for a man who was a tradesman, a worker, he was out there in the field. He loved animals. He had horses. He loved all that sort of thing. But all of that was just so limited and so restrained. And with hindsight, with my dad who died in his late 50s, I often reflect back to those 5 years with the impact of the stroke that I should have understood more concerning that limitation. Now, that's not as severe as motor neurone disease, but still it was an impact on limitation of the body functioning. Here we read about Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 16, and that'll be the key verse tonight, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And the Lord talks about this fact of a body. Here there are two references to the body. And here we're talking about a spiritual body. We're talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. But yet the analogy, the picture is made of the human body for us to understand the functioning of the spiritual body. And if you could please keep a bookmark in Ephesians 4, but turn with me to 1 Corinthians, please, in chapter 12. And this is in the context of spiritual gifts, for in verse 1 it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." In verse 4, there's diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And it's a chapter that talks about the subject of gifts. But in verse 12, we read about the body. We read about, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" And the analogy, the picture, goes on to illustrate that the body is one, the human body is one, and it's made up of many members. And that body functions, and so does the Church of Jesus Christ, and it's made up of many members. And those many members form the one body. And it's that functioning that takes place within the body. Just reading a few more verses in this whole context. If we look at verses 18 to 20, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." So we have the variety of members that are part of this body and as the body of Christ. Coming back now to Ephesians chapter 4, we read of the body. The body is mentioned in verse 3. We're reading of the body in verse 4, but in verses 1 to 3, we're talking about that we as believers are prisoners of the Lord and that we should walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. Verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's within this body, for we go into verse 4 and it says there's one body and one Spirit. And of course we're looking at this point that there are many members in that one body, but the fact is that in that diversity there's unity, there's one body. Verses 7 to 11 talks about the gifts, and verse 11, those ministry gifts. Some weeks ago we looked at the permanence of love and the nature of temporary gifts, and some of those listed here, like apostles and prophets in the sense of foretelling, have ceased. But we read about evangelists and pastor teachers. But the purpose comes through in verse 12, for the perfecting or for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it just highlights a responsibility factor and the level of purpose that is here in the Word of God concerning the church is for the maturing or the making saints complete for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up, the strengthening of the body of Jesus Christ, with a purpose till we all come in the unity of the faith, and again that thought of unity, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it's that whole purpose of bringing together the Word of God, that people may come to that point of maturity and strengthening through edification. Verse 14 is a key element, that we not be tossed to and fro. And that being tossed to and fro is like a ship, and I've seen it, the lifesavers might get their boat to go out and rescue that surfer who's been caught in a rip and has been taken out and is drowning and going under, and they're in the boat, and the boat goes out and the surf comes and crashes down and the boat goes up and down. It's being tossed to and fro. And that's this whole picture of don't be tossed about as on the waves of the ocean, but to understand and not to be taken up and deceived by those things that may come in that are false, and the cunning craftiness that may come through, and the slight or the dicing of men that may influence with every wind of doctrine. It's remaining firm and strong. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that's that whole thought that is the purpose, that truth is there and it needs to be spoken in love. And we'll talk more about that later on, because you might understand in 1 Corinthians, we read some weeks ago now in 1 Corinthians 13, that if you have all these great spiritual gifts but have not love, then you are nothing. It's vain, it's vanity, because it's like that clashing cymbal that may go off with a gong, but there's not the body to it because there's not the love that needs to accompany that. And it's the same with truth. Truth is one thing, but it needs to be coupled with love, free of that prejudice or evil or ill will. It's about the body, it's about people, it's about souls, it's about a brother who maybe needs to be restored. It's love, and it's got to be that whole building up purpose. It's yes, you might be saying what the truth, but yet it's got to be spoken in love. And that's the key element that comes through there, that needs to be in love. And this is part of this body. But verse 16, we read, from whom, and that is from Christ, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And we talked about the human body, and in that same way with the arm and the legs and the hands and the eyes and the ears, the organs of the body all function together. And the same way we read in the scriptures that the word pierces, even dividing asunder the joints and the marrow. It's the body, it's the functioning of the body. And the word comes forth, and we're reading here that the body has to be fitly joined together and compacted, and it's got to be the whole body. And this is my prayer, and it's been very much on my heart, and I know it's on Pastor Matthew's heart, it's on all of our hearts, that may the body be fitly joined together, the whole body, because that's the purpose of God, that it be impacted by activity, not inactivity in that way. Fitly joined together is a present participle, and it's that present participle which is an ongoing process. It's not a completed event, it's an ongoing process. And it's to join closely together, and it's that picture of harmonious union being brought together, and it's the one word which means fitly joined together, or to join closely together. That's the purpose, to join closely together. Please turn with me to Ephesians 2:21, which is only back a page probably in your Bible. But we read in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly joined, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. It's all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And that's that picture of the sanctuary, and it goes on to talk about the sanctuary of God. It's through the Spirit. And it's that, you look at those, the historic buildings, and you see them framed together. You see them framed together neatly. And the stones have been chipped. You can even go up on the road to Wiseman's Ferry, and you see the road that they built before they opened the freeway going up over the Hawkesbury Bridge. But you go up on the old convict road and you see these stones that have been chipped and grooved and placed together, the sandstone blocks. But in those historic buildings, they got the stones and they chipped them and they refined them and they put them together so that they locked it together. They fitted together. And this is this picture of the temple, of the building. And so it's that same word, that the whole building may be fitly joined together and it may grow into that holy temple in the Lord. And we see that temple would build and it would grow and it would become a structure like an edifice that would be known and speakable, but it would be firmly and well established as a building. The word compacted is here as well, because it says that the whole body fitly joined together and compacted. I've had to compact soil before, I don't know about you, but you get the Kennard's hire and the machine and you compact. I had to lay pavers once, Pastor Matthew's pavers, and I had to compact the soil. Well, I put down gravel and had to compact the soil. And those in the building game might understand what I mean. So I got this machine, which was like a... And when I was holding it, it was compacting the soil, but then it all started to go down and all this water started to surface. And I thought, I'm not doing a very good job. And then I rang the supplier and I said, look, your gravel is second rate. You know, your gravel's history, you know. It's producing all this water that's coming out of the ground. But then I realised I had an irrigation problem.
underneath. And it was futile trying to compact it when there was an irrigation problem underneath. And so I had to get to the root problem and deal with the water problem before I could put the gravel down again and compact. And it was a lesson learned, and a time-consuming one, but the lesson learned. But I think of compacting, but here it's the coalescing or uniting or knitting together, and I suppose it is compacting the soil. Maybe it is pushing it together, coalescing it and knitting it together, uniting it. But it's like in the sense of the strength of a building and a structure that's being established and compacted and brought together, and that fitted together. It's another word that's in that genre of just words that describe that frame and that structure and that strength. In Colossians 2:19, you don't have to turn far for that. It's two books over in the Bible. But in Colossians 2:19, it's the same word. Now, ladies, don't think that knitting together means that it's knitted, as in knitting and craft. It's that same word of being compacted, because it's knit together, it's united together. In Colossians 2:19, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. And it's that same thought. If you don't hold on to the head, which is the source of all supply and sustenance and nourishment, then that process cannot go on. And so there's a need to be attached to that source, and we'll talk about that more soon, but it's that knitting together, it's that compacting, and all those things being brought together. And I was thinking of those blocks like the temple and the fitting together jointly, and I thought that it's a group thing, it's a together thing, and those blocks are together. And those blocks are together, and those blocks are being placed in that building that's being established and the structure that's going up. And those pieces are fitly joined together. And I realised it's not about individualism or isolation or selfish endeavour. It's got to be the body. And Pastor and I are just so grateful that there are those who have said, look, I can do this, I can do that. And there are still some that I need to see on my list of saying, look, can you help out here? Can you help out there? But it's the body functioning. And it's each part playing, because it's through that that the structure is completed and strengthened. And it's the building to the glory of God and to Jesus Christ. I was reading in the last few weeks about consumer-based type thinking that can hit the churches, and it was an example of a church in another country. But the example was there of, in this church, that there was a thinking that it's all about the client, it's all about the consumer, it's all about what I need. And like you going into the shop and you're not receiving what you want, it's about what you want. It's your desire, and it's that consumer thinking. But the message came through very loud and clear to me. It's what Christ desires, it's what Christ would have. And I might have things that I might like to do, but yet I've got to come back to, what does the Lord want? It's not a consumer based thinking, it's what the Lord would have. And it's that every part, the whole body, fitly joined together, uncompacted. Then we read about, by that which every joint supplieth. And it talks about the joints supplying, and it's by that which every joint supplieth. And so it's the joints that are supplying. Bit of a grammar lesson. I was reading, it's a preposition of intermediate agency, so it's through the agency of every joint supplying. So that's the agency, because just reading that again, as from whom, that is from Christ, so he's the source, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. and by the agency of that which every joint supplieth. And so so it's God, he's the source, he's the supplier, but that church is being fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. We say, but I'm in Christ, but I don't want to be a joint that's functioning. If we all elected to do that, it'd become like the marionette puppet, wouldn't it, with the strings cut. It's God's purpose that there be that functioning by that which every joint supplieth. And the thought in the Greek word is that it's every joint of supply, that it's the supply that comes through those joints in that functioning and that which is supplied, and it flows through from those joints into the body to fitly join the body together. And it's that which each joint supplies. And if it be that wall that's being constructed, it's the block that and the part that that one plays. But again, it's that whole process of being joined together and coming to fruition. It's each limb or joint supplying. And if my arm is needed to do this, then it's used to do that. And or if it's to do this, then my limbs, my organs, they function, my members, for a purpose and to meet a need. It's the joint supplieth. And in the word meaning itself, it's a source of the supply that's crucial, because there is a supply. What is the supply? It's a supply of that nourishment that comes to the body. And that supply comes from the source, which is Christ. And it's the joint that is being used as that agency to help to fitly join the body together by the part that each part is playing within the body. And of course, Christ is the source. And we can say, look, I can do something, but if it's being done without Christ and without him as the head, then it's vanity, it's nothing. It's not going to be enduring and lasting and for life eternal. It's got to be in Christ. He is the source. I was thinking of John 15, and it's the branch analogy. And if you could please turn with me to John 15, verse 5. Where we read, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And if I'm connected to the vine and I'm a branch and I'm abiding in the vine and I'm receiving my supply and my source and my strength from the vine, then I can bring forth much fruit. And that joint can have its supply, but it must be connected to the source, because it's a supply that comes forth because Christ is the head, and it's from whom that this is all coming. And that source of supply must be Christ. It has to be Christ accordingly. And those gifts or joints supply life from God as agents flowing into the body for his glory and for his honour. The next point is the measure of every part. And I was a bit taken with that word measure, because it said the vessel for determining the quantity or the extent or the portion. And I think of the zero or round up, and you put so many mil per litre and you do what you need to do and you have the portion. Or the medicine, and you put in the 50 mil or the 20 mil, whatever it is, and you down it goes, down the hatch. But it's the quantity that's provided. And the commentators to a man all talked about that it's that capacity or that quantity, and it's by according to the effectual working, and we're looking at the effectual working, the energy that's working efficiently. Pastor used the word energy this morning. It is that word energy. It's that word energy, and it's that word working efficiently. So it's that effectual working or efficient energy that's coming forth from the measure of every part. It's not some parts, it's every part, and it's the measure of every part. And it was interesting that it came out the measure or the quantity or the capacity of, and it brought up the subject of limitations, which was a beautiful thing, that some, maybe because of age, maybe because of families, because of lack of mobility or circumstances or health at that stage or capacity, the measure of every part may vary, but it's the input of every part in the measure of every part that is supplied. And that comes through into the body. So you've got the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by or by agency of every joint, that which is supplied according to the effectual working, which is coming back to that effective working of God in the measure of every part as each one is able at that time. And there may be those limitations, but it's saying, Lord, at my stage of life or in my capacity or what I can give, then I want that to be a measure that will be to your glory and to your honour, to the praise of his name. The verse that's in this whole context, which is the word energy, which Pastor related to this morning, was Ephesians 1:19, which is looking at, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And it's that power that worketh, it's that energy, and it's the greatness of his power that is available to a believer who surrendered to the Lord. Finally, that purpose of the edifying of itself in love. And this is the goal, this is the objective, this is why there's the maturing of the saints, this is why there's the work of the ministry. And the ministry is there for more than just a pastor. It's there. It's the work of the ministry. It's for the body. But it's for the increase or the edification of itself in love. And that last part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Some may just say, oh, it's about numbers. It's about increase. But yet, what is the measure that measures increase? I really believe we've got to take stock and just say it's lives, it's people, it's relationships, it's growth, it's being increased to the glory of God. It's saying, Lord, I just want to do what's right for your glory, that I may see the increase of the body unto the edifying or the building up of itself in love. And again, it's that thought of being framed together, of the structure closely and firmly, like in Ephesians 2:21. It's that being knit together, it's being framed together, it's being compacted together, it's becoming that holy temple, that sanctuary of the living God. And the church is not the building, the church is the people, the blood-bought believers who are in Christ. That's what the church is, the blood-bought believers who are in Christ. And in 1 Peter 2:5, we read that believers are living stones. They're lively stones. They're stones that God can use to build up that temple, that holy temple unto the Lord. God has redeemed us if you are saved and if you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour. And it's for a purpose, and it's to be used of God for the edification and the building up, and to supply something for the edification and the building up, for the strengthening of others. Because that has to be the ultimate goal. That has to be the desire. And we say, Lord, may I always do those things that will build to that edification, that will build to that soul strengthening for Jesus Christ and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his church. It's for that edification and for that strengthening.
and for his name. And it's got to be the edification or the building up. And to edify something, it's like that edifice. It's like that building. It's the structure being built up and framed. It's the edification or the building up of itself in love. And that process goes on as every joint supplies and as every part, according to the measure of every part and by the effectual working of God, and as from that source, the body is fitly joined together. And that's the goal of this whole portion in Ephesians 4. But it's of itself in love. And that word comes back to the love again. And it won't take place without love. I've realised that. It's got to take place with love. In Ephesians 3, where we are now, we're in Ephesians 4, but in Ephesians 3:17, we realise there in this great prayer that begins in verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," that is, you as believers, "according to the riches of his glory, be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." And that's the purpose, that we might be filled with the love of God, that we may know the love of God, that we may understand the breadth of that great love, and that we may be grounded in love. To be grounded is to be firmly established in love, because it's about souls, it's about people, it's about the Lord, it's about his glory. Chapter 4, verse 2, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love," speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 talks about followers of truth or speakers of truth in love, without those issues that would hinder that whole purpose from being achieved. But I'm more and more convinced that we need to understand the love of Christ. And I just close with this thought, that "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." And that life is in Christ. That everlasting life is in him. It's in Christ. And it was the love of God. And what constrains us to do anything? It's love. Why do we do what we do? It's love. You hear stories about the man or the woman who sacrificed one's own life to save a child or to do something, to save a loved one, went into that burning house or whatever it was, to rescue someone on the battlefield, but yet just even on the streets, so people do heroic things. And what was the motivation? It was love. It was you do things out of love, do things that you would not normally do out of love. And it's that love of Christ, that "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." May we see that love of Christ, and may we be motivated to do all that we can for his glory and for his honour. In 2 Corinthians 5, we read about the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. And if you're a believer, I just pray that you'll say, "Lord, I want to supply something to the joint. I want it to the joint. I want to supply." I was a bit paranoid about the word joint before, because I've heard a bit about the drug culture and I hear about joints. Then here I am talking about building up the joint, but it's building up the church by that which every joint supplieth. And we've got to say, "Lord, may I see that it's about building up the church of Jesus Christ by
every joint, every organ, by every member, every person, because ultimately those joints are people. They are ones within the body, supplying that within the body as the body of Christ, to contribute to his work and to his glory. May God use each one of us in his way to the praise of his blessed and wonderful name. Let's pray, shall we? Loving Father, may we just see that it's a message. It was a big overview. But Father, may we each see that that whole thought of your goal of the whole body being fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father, may that love prevail, may that edification prevail, may every joint supplying prevail, may the glory of Jesus Christ prevail to the praise of your name and your glory, because it is about Christ. It's being constrained by the love of Christ. It's about the Lord. It's about his glory. It's about his honour, doing all that we do for his glory and for his honour. And may that be the case in each of our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is 609. The first line says, Saviour, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfil its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. May we say, Lord, may my life be for God and for his glory and for his honour. If we can help you spiritually, please say something to us afterwards. Don't walk out without Christ. And if you need to talk to someone, then please let Pastor Matthews or me or someone know, even this evening. Let's pray, let's sing 609.
Thank you.
that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.